Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. If you've been tuning in already, obviously, you know what that means, right? That means you're a highly intelligent individual. And those of you who tuned in, let's see what you got to look forward to. If you just joined us, you have the opportunity to be identified as a highly intelligent individual by just listening. Yeah, just hanging around with us. And that's what will happen. People will say that all the time. They'll say, boy, you're really smart, aren't you? My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check out all the things that are there. You can subscribe to our newsletter, which comes by email. You can subscribe to our blog, which comes by blog. Basically, the really simple syndication of technology does that. And so that's pretty cool technology. I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. The blog is, the RSS, folks, is pretty cool. If you haven't done that, go to our website, and there's a page there that tells you a little bit more about how it works. It's pretty interesting stuff, and I think that it's the way of the future for getting some of the information that you want. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. William Dunkelberg is professor of business at Temple University. And in Philadelphia, he's former dean of that whole business school there at Temple for a number of years, and now just teaching his students all the smart things that he knows. He's also chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and for something over 30 years, started when he was only six. Bill has been polling small business owners every month to find out what their challenges are and what their opportunities are, and thank goodness for the last several years, he's been reporting that to us on this show. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure. How are you doing down there?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, Bill, on the show as always. And I just want to say on behalf of my audience and all the small business owners out there who benefit from the hard work that you do, we want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it.
Well, I know you do.
Who else would you want to work for but small business? I mean,
well, see, that's what I say. I tell people all the time, we're sweet and cuddly and huggable and why wouldn't you want to be around us, right?
Absolutely.
Bill, we have an interesting report this time because your data is from August.
Right.
But right after you collected your data, something happened, didn't it?
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to happen again.
Another one.
I see Rita sitting at Category 4 already and headed toward the big state.
Yeah, yeah. Woo. It's like I was saying earlier this week, it's like the hurricane god said, oh, wait a minute, we missed Texas last time. We have to fix that.
Right.
Yeah, and so you got to feel for the people who left New Orleans, went to Houston. Now they're in the sights of Katrina. But anyway, that's what happened. Katrina hit, and so the information that you're giving us today, we're going to have to do a little translating, aren't you, with regard to what you collected and what you think may be the case now.
Well, certainly from an economist perspective, we got set up with a perfect before and after. We collected all the August data. It was obviously mailed before Katrina happened, so there was no Katrina bad news. In September, obviously, we mail on the first day of September. We'll probably have a hard time delivering questionnaires in New Orleans, but we mail on the first of the month. So September 1, you know, out went 7,000 questionnaires. We'll have to see what the answers are. Now, I'll tell you, I peaked at the first 150 or 200, and, you know, it's a small sample, but it's the 150 or so who had the worst news. I mean, they're the people who responded early, you know, in the month, and not much change. Interesting. There's really very little impact.
What did they tell you? Basically, August was kind of a ho-hum month, wasn't it?
That was pretty good. The index was around 101, where, you know, the base is 100 equals 1986, which was a great year, like we're having now, 3.5% real growth and low inflation. So, excuse me, we were a point above that in August and had been, and for a couple of months. hiring plans had jumped up to 17, which was only exceeded by a few observations in the crazy years back in 99 and 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So really we had some good numbers in August, and it looks to me like they're going to hold up just fine.
Really? I think you reported that the impact of Katrina could be the difference in the growth or no growth the rest of the year for the nation.
Yeah,
is that right?
Well, I don't see how that can happen. Let's just do some simple math, okay? The economy was set. Most forecasts had the economy growing at a 4% rate in the first quarter.
Bill, hold that thought.
Sure.
Hold on to that one right there. We're going to come right back after these messages. You don't want to miss what Bill has to say. This is a very important report for you and for your planning for the rest of this year and next. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and there's Carlos Santana, the classic. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's a classic, too, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. And you don't mind me calling you a classic, do you, Bill?
No, probably not. That's a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a compliment.
Car.
Yeah, I mean that in the very best way, Bill.
Classic frame. You know,
exactly. DNA. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like wine. We're not getting older. We're getting better, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Bill, you were giving us your idea about how the economy was doing. You were saying that earlier in the first part of the year, some of the really smart economists, and I'm not an economist, but I actually predicted that I thought the economy would grow 4% this year. But I don't think we're going to make it, are we?
Well, we probably aren't going to make quite 4. So we had 3.8 in the first quarter. We had 3.3 in the second quarter. And the only reason we fell to 3.3 was just the huge imports. You know, the
right.
Rising cost of oil really hurts the math of GDP, because you subtract imports because you're spending money on stuff not made in the U.S., and GDP is gross domestic product. That is the value of goods and services made here. So
right.
The huge oil costs have, you know, slowed our measure of GDP growth, so that was down to 3.3. Everybody's expecting 4 to 4.5 in the third quarter. Let's pick 4, all right,
mm-hmm.
as the number. That was before Katrina.
Right.
Now, the entire output of Mississippi and Louisiana only accounts for about 2% of GDP. So if their output were totally lost for the whole state, both of those states, then and the rest of the economy grew 4%, we would have a net of 2% growth for the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the deal. You know, it's hard for those two states to put much of a dent in growth, you know, because
the larger impact, because as you know, and as you pointed out in your report this week, this month, I should say, you know, New Orleans has more of an impact than just their local economy.
Well, that's right.
It's the largest port.
Right.
You reported this month in terms of tonnage of all ports in the world, I think, isn't it?
In the world, right. Yeah, that's where all
a lot of people didn't know that. We knew it was a big port, but we didn't know it was that big.
Yeah, it's of course, it's a different port. It's not a container port. It's a, you know, kind of piles of corn and piles of grain port. A
lot of commodities.
Kind of right. And a lot of our farm exports all go right out through that port. So it's absolutely huge and very important.
And oil, a lot of oil.
Well, 30% of our domestic production comes out of the Gulf, all of the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a very important part. 20% of our natural gas comes out of the Gulf. And most of it's kind of coming through that region. So that's why it was different than the Florida hurricane. Florida hurricane messes up a lot of houses, and then we create a lot of construction jobs down there fixing them back up. This
mm-hmm.
hurricane messed up, we estimate, 160,000 to 200,000 houses, so that'd be a lot of work. Some of those houses weren't real great, and a lot of those houses weren't real great, but anyway, they're gone. So we have that work. But you had the energy problem, you know, because we had the shortest gas supply in history the day before the hurricane hit, and of course
mm-hmm.
that gave us price spikes. They're down again. I filled up at $2.79 yesterday, so prices are back down. But that transmitted up to the rest of the economy, and that could that could accentuate or magnify the problem because
right.
of the importance of the port and the energy coming out of there. But still, this economy is huge and it's just moving forward and it's going to grow. It'll dent third quarter growth. You know, you had a jump of 70,000 in the unemployment claims last week, and you'll see it again. So we have, you know, a couple hundred thousand people who are suddenly out of work, and it'll take a while to put them back in. But
what do you think from a macro standpoint, in terms of the entire U.S. government and the economy? What do you think is going to be the impact of what some people are estimating is $200 billion that are going to be poured into that part of the country to recover that?
Yeah, well, I mean, from the macro point of view, $200 billion is, you know, it's a chunk of change, but, I mean, not that big compared to $1.4 trillion budget that we have for the government. So it'll be a big number. It won't all happen in 1 year. It can't. Well, if it does, right. it'll be a typical government program where you waste all the money.
Right, waste half of it, probably.
It'll waste half of it. But remember, you know, government waste is somebody's income. That is, they may waste it. They may pay people who do nothing, but those people will have the money, and they'll go spend it and get small businesses to create other output and so on.
Right.
So, I mean, in that sense. But it'll be spread out, and we'll most likely borrow that money because government's is disinclined to raise taxes or to cut their pork out, which would be helpful if they would do that.
So, that would be the best thing that could happen.
Yeah. Now, this will be a new deal because we've had, not many, fortunately, but we've had devastating events like this in the past, and the cities have always been rebuilt with private money.
Right.
So this is the first time we've really seen a commitment. $200 billion is a huge commitment to rebuild the area. A lot of people, of course, will be happy about that because they'll be getting lots of gifts, compliments of the taxpayer. But we've never really done it this way.
But this economy is going to be underperforming longer and to a much bigger extent, I think, than anything I've seen in my lifetime. Is how's that going to affect the long-term GDP of the nation, you know, say in 2006?
Yeah, well, I don't think we're going to underperform that much, but we'll have to see what the fourth quarter reading is. But GDP will already be getting a stimulus from the cleanup, you know, by the fourth quarter. So, I mean, you have a balance sheet loss for the economy. As my house was wiped out by a tornado, so we lost the asset. But tomorrow, I'm going to hire a bunch of people to rebuild the house. Now, I wouldn't have rebuilt it. You know, those jobs wouldn't be there if the tornado hadn't come through. So we're going to just hire lots of people and do lots of stuff. And that's going to be very stimulating to the economy in the fourth quarter, in the first quarter, in the second quarter next year. So it could add a lot to growth. And I suspect average growth will be unaffected by it.
Well, stand by. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bill what he thinks this is going to do to inflation, and also what he thinks about what the Fed did yesterday, which was to raise rates again. Didn't shock me, but it surprised me a little bit. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back. Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, from the Innocent Age album. It's a great song. I'm Chip Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's Chief Economist with the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB, and does a great job every month on this survey. It just produces such great information that we can track. And Bill, I'm still waiting on your book. You've got a book that would just knock people's socks off in you if you can just get it out of you.
Well, I need your help in figuring out what that book is.
Well, I will help you. But I'm telling you, there's a book in there that anybody's been who's been supporting small business owners and studying their habits and their reaction to all the different challenges and opportunities. There's a book inside you there, and we got to get it out of you because I sure want to be able to read it. Bill is a professor at Temple University. Bill, give us your website where they can find your Small Business Economic Trends Report.
Well, we put it up real quickly on one called smallbiz.org. That's small B-U-S, not B-I-Z, smallbus.org. So it goes there really quickly once the report's done. And then, of course, once it's cleaned up and made to look a little bit better and the bad grammar is corrected, it shows up on NFIB.com.
NFIB.com, absolutely.
Right.
And then you report it on this show, and we post it on our website every month. We also, you folks, there are two surveys that we post on our homepage at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Bill's is one of those that's posted every month. Bill, were you surprised that the Federal Open Market Committee raised rates again yesterday?
No, I wasn't at all. And, you know, you've been reading my stuff, so you know that
yep.
I think that the Fed's going to stay right on course. And I think that would be right. I think that...
The Fed doesn't watch the Weather Channel, do they?
Well, they certainly do. But here's what worries me is that, you know, we had a major shift in philosophy for the use of monetary policy when Volcker came in, and that was don't try to fine-tune the economy with monetary policy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that because it doesn't work. And look at the problems it created for us in the 1970s as
right.
we tried to use monetary policy to offset the oil, the oil spike and so on. We know that we say it's a long and variable lag between the time the Fed does something and the time the real economy is hit, so you can't fine-tune with it. So we agreed to that, and Volcker and Greenspan then said, let's think long term. Let's focus on inflation, keep inflation as low as we can, and then we'll get a good business environment out of that, which will generate jobs and so on. Now, if we had suddenly stopped, then that would be saying to the world, well, we think if we don't do a quarter point now, it's going to help Katrina. Please,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't work. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people would lose confidence in the management, I think, if we had deviated from the plan which they set out.
Shouldn't we also take from this an indication that the Fed has that much confidence in the economy, even notwithstanding Katrina?
Well, certainly. And again, you know, you and I just went over the Katrina numbers. The Fed does the math, and they have better data than I do. Katrina is not that big of an event for the macroeconomy.
Right.
They have to think about a 50-state economy in a global environment, and they have to do the right thing for the long haul. Now, so they're looking down the road. 1% federal funds rate was way too low. They've got to get it was 6.5 when we started the cutting.
Right.
They've got to get it back to some reasonable level. So that's their view, their target. You know, they are worried about long-term inflation. That's the key. And they didn't take their eye off the ball, thank goodness. They're persevering. Now, they'll argue amongst themselves whether the right place to stop is 4, 4.5, or 5, and that will depend on how the economy is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But to abandon it now because of a short-term event would be a terrible mistake.
Historically, and well said, Bill. Thank you for that. That's an excellent way to present that. And historically, inflation has been the big ugly challenge of small businesses over the last several decades. It hasn't
and
been
consumers.
So much. It hasn't been so much in the recent past. But is it rearing its head again for your folks?
Not really. I mean, we've seen a little bit of a pickup. We asked the question, what's the most important problem facing your business today? And back in the 70s, that was, 60-70% of our owners said inflation. Now,
mm-hmm.
if inflation is small business's most important problem, somebody is really making bad mistakes.
Right.
In Washington, which they were, and then we corrected that with Volcker. Now, for the past decade, the only 1 or 2% have said that. So it's almost been zero.
Right.
Said that. Now, recently, it's picked up to like 6%. But, I mean,
that's still a lot of that's nothing. Because of petroleum, isn't it?
That's obviously our owners of, cab companies, transportation companies,
right.
et cetera. And it is a problem for them. Those energy costs are a problem.
Bill Dunkelberg, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. And for all you do for small business owners, we thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back next month. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.